Lindsay and I, by the very nature of our subjects, we use technology, but we're also very committed to the idea that technology can be used to enhance learning across the curriculum. And we believe in that not just because we've seen the positive impact on learning, but also because we feel we need to equip our young people with skills that they can go out into the big wide world. I'm going to pass you over to Lindsay because she's got a few bits of information to give to you.
Yeah, I get all the boring bits today. Right, there's no planned fire drill this evening, but if the fire alarm does go off, well, first of all, you'll be alerted by a high-pitched sound that we recently had installed. And secondly, it's not planned. The fire exit just goes straight back out the way we all came in, and we've got a register to take it out from. The toilets are at opposite ends of the corridor. Right, that's that bit over. If you want to follow us on Twitter, that's our Twitter thing. If you want, our hashtag is at that. If you want to tweet about us, the time while you're here. If you want to use the school Wi-Fi, we have special guest things, so you can log in with that. And the hashtag, obviously, it's Digital Learning Week this week, so we're tying in with Digital Learning Week. And you can continue to help yourself to the teas, coffees, and the cakes my mum baked for me. When I suggested to my colleagues that I was going to bake, we all fell about laughing. So, yeah, that was all I really needed to say.
And then we're handing over, I think, to Malcolm, who's going to randomly select.
Every time I did it, Jackie came up.
So, first on, and each person's got 5 minutes over. I think Ian, you're the exception. You're exceptional in so many ways. But yes, 5 minutes, and there's a timer will go up to tell you the 5 minutes, which everyone should be able to see from over here, I'm hoping. I'll bring the timer up once we've chosen the names. So when the name comes up, that person has 5 minutes, both to get themselves ready and then to present and get the tumultuous applause by the end. So, first up, let's see who's coming.
Everybody in the room
saying,
"Going, not me."
Annette, is Annette?
Is the one that was not coming?
It's not coming. Okay, so we remove Annette.
Right, so
we're going to
go again.
It is
Susan.
My 5 minutes have not started. I've got to get from this end of the room.
Yes, it has. It starts for me.
No, there's a 5 pence there.
I haven't clicked OK.
We've just got a tiny bit of extra. That's good that I'll get this over and done with. Because the technology is just limited.
You don't want to break that.
I have to go down here.
No, man, I'll kill it.
While Susan is getting herself ready, can I just tell everybody that John Johnston here, sitting right beside me, is broadcasting as we speak, broadcasting out to the world. So if anyone who is presenting does not want to be broadcast, could they just say to John as you're coming out, and he will mute you so that you're not being broadcast. But it's just to make everyone aware that we are being broadcast so that others can enjoy what's all happening today. So that gave you an extra 30
seconds.
That
was fantastic. Okay. My 5 minutes are starting right now.
Cool.
Assessment of creative performance is something that we find particularly tricksy. So I want to just share with you this digital way of hoovering up the trace of thinking that's left behind any kind of design work, any kind of editing design work. This might be what the digital folio would look like. There's three from, I do primary and secondary with this. It was part of a research project that we're doing with at Goldsmiths. SQA funded it. SQA are looking to have it in terms of their design assignments and a few other things. They're using it in further education colleges at the minute in Scotland too. The little yellow post-its are where the children go back over and review what they have done. But each of those little boxes has been planned and in response to the task that they are given, using a little notebook, a flip-spin kind of notebook, they are gathering information as they are designing. So they're either doing a mind map or they're taking a video or they're interviewing somebody, and I'll randomly take one little number of speakers. Each one of these little bits here, if I click on that, we've got sound. So we've got the kids giving their own interpretation of what aesthetics or function might be, or they're telling us about why they're choosing a particular design. We can ask them to take photographs and only photographs, or you can ask them, talk about it, take a video of it. You can give the choice. So the way that the little words are going can say things like this adaptation, so they're talking about the design, increases the width of the handle, looking at it makes me think of handles. This is now the teacher saying, I just realised that, the teacher's actually saying, is there anything in your kitchen that you can actually use? So that's coming from the little green dot that's saying the teacher has added something to your folio, and the teacher can either speak it or write it. And the kid will open up, next session, open up their flip spins, and they'll see that they've got a green in that box, and they'll go and tap on that box, and the teacher comment would be there. And that you can, my research in Scotland was all about using this, hoovering up the trace of thinking as it was happening in real time, the router collecting everything, put it into the order that the child was actually doing it, time stamped, and it was for formative purposes. But the SQA are looking at it for summative. The awarding bodies in England are using it for Australia, Singapore as a whole wee country are using this for summative purposes. But I'm not here to talk about that. The children would really enjoyed it because you learned how you can change your model. They learned about getting feedback from others. So here's what it looks like in the workshop. And the kids are actually talking about, well, you get peer feedback from others rather than the nth degree from the teacher all the time. Some say that it's easier because you don't need to keep bits of paper and have a folio. So all the time, they don't even need to, you know, say, right, I'm going to put this photograph here. It's in response to what's happening. So teacher feedback, still images, learner post-its at the end of it saying, oh, I wish I hadn't done that then, or this is why I did this on a retrospective thing. The sound files, which, because we've got no speaker, if anybody's interested later, got a tiny wee handout and in just leftovers from when I presented before that kind of capture what I've said, and I'll let you listen in to find out how useful it is that the language, because the children, some of them like to type out, some of them like to speak, and we found out that they were okay, they're working to their strengths, the bits that they like best, but at the same time, if we knew that somebody liked to speak rather than write, you can actually ask the child, no, this time you need to actually put a note in on this. So you develop their weaker skills area. These are the kind of things that the primary Blackpool primary kids, it was a portable lighting structure, and this is feedback, peer feedback. So they are getting information given to them, and it's hoovered up in their own electronic portfolio, the Escape. They don't have to then type it up or take a snap of it. The voice is just directly in there. So they're getting feedback from one peer onto another. This is the kind of thing, it's called, I'm not selling at all, but we worked in conjunction with MAPS, and they developed the software, and I was saying, look, I want it to do this, so the software developers kind of tried to give me what I was after. So through all the beta testing, it was really full of glitches, but it was great fun. And this is where it goes with the adaptive pairs, and what the SQA are trying to do with this too, is that you can have your assessment criteria in there. You can just hook it up, lift it up, drop it down. And so the child's getting feedback. You can even ask the children to look at somebody else's overall folio and, again, give feedback in that way. And MAPS, ICT.com, are the ones who have produced it, developed it, and it's now called Live Assess. We still call it Escape. But that's 5 minutes.
Wasn't a good time. I got your computer in you.
I did press the button.
So let's see who's next. And move Susan. Is Emily here?
Have we got it all up here? No.
Just coming right behind you.
Oh, we're going to jump back to Jackie's. I'll definitely need to speed up.
Is that us?
Nearly. Just need to make it full screen. Although I don't know how to do it on this bit.
I think we're in Adobe.
Is that the full screen?
Yeah, I think that should do it.
There we go. Hi, I'm Emma Morrow from Green Cross Primary School, and I'm just going to talk to you about how I used live streaming and digital recording to enhance learning in the primary school. So, as part of our farming topic, one Monday morning,
10 chick eggs arrived in our class, and this sparked great excitement and curiosity amongst my class. They started to question what was going to happen, and this then made me think about how it was a shame that it was just contained within my one classroom, and I wanted to see if I could sort of network this out to the rest of the school and even further afield to parents. So this is where the idea for live streaming and digital recording came about. So I was wanting to do it to try and increase the full school involvement so that I could share this excitement and curiosity amongst the full school. I was wanting to improve the parental involvement, so rather than the children going home and sharing their experiences with their parents, they could actually share it together at home looking at it. I wanted to just extend the learning experience so there was maximise the chances of the children seeing the chicks hatching as well, and just to generally increase the use of technology in the classroom. I'm not very confident with ICT, and it doesn't come very naturally, but it's as simple as having a computer with internet access and a webcam, and you just literally have to connect the webcam to the computer and position it to whatever it is that you're wanting to live stream. Last year I used a website called livestreaming.com, but that's changed its policy, so now the website called Ustream seems to work better. So this is just the page how you set it up, and you can just, it's free, you don't need to pay anything, you just click on that, and then you just need to add in your email address and a username and a password, and then you just set up your channel there and give your channel a name, and this is ones that the parents and the staff in the school would use to access what you're live streaming. You need to allow access to both the microphone and the camera, and then you start broadcasting. You just literally click start broadcasting and turn off the audio if you don't want to hear sound, or keep it on if you do. And this is the page that the people at home or the rest of the staff in the school got to see, and this is where your image would come up. So there's just a couple of things that I needed to take into consideration, like the computers all shut down at 7 o'clock, so it was just email and ICT to make sure that it could stay on throughout the night. Obviously we needed a light source, but the brooding box had it in, so it was fine. But if you were using it for other things, like maybe a science experiment or whatever in the high school, you need to make sure there was a light. Pupil and staff, in short, I just made sure that the cleaners and things knew in the morning and at night, if they're in the classroom, that parents at home might actually be seeing what they're up to in the classroom. Adverts. The website that I used last year did have adverts, and the Falkirk Council website sort of just suggests that you put out to parents, let them know that we can't be held accountable for it. Head teacher last year wasn't very comfortable with that, so that prevented me from live streaming to parents, but I did do it within the school. And you just informed staff and parents just so they could all be involved. As well as live streaming, the pupils were involved in documenting and sharing the process. So any significant aspects or developments or something that they thought would be good to share with the school, maybe if they didn't have the webcam on at that time, they used the school cameras to take videos and pictures. So this is just a wee video of, if it works. Maybe it won't. That was a little video. Oh, it is. There we go. So this is like, obviously they're not filming all day, so this chick was starting to pip out the egg, so someone grabbed the camera, we all ran over, and it was quite a good thing, because if the teachers didn't have it on at that moment, they were still getting to see this experience, because my class then shared it with every class through a little presentation, so they actually captured.
And you sort of just filmed a lot and then edited it?
So just cut it down.
Oh, yeah. So
and then it pecks on it there.
Well,
so here's just another couple of pictures that we took as well, and then this is the class. Actually, like, this is some people's my class presenting to their class, because we made a time slot for every class to come up to the classroom. Just a couple of impacts that I thought on the pupils, as I did enhance the learning at both a class and a school level, because we managed to share it out. The live streaming did encourage sort of learning and teaching conversations, and it prompted further research, because other classes in the school then got to look at chicks a little bit further. The staff and pupils alike would ask the children in my class questions. They had to sort of think they're learning at a deeper level to provide people with these answers. Also, that the ICT skills were enhanced through a meaningful context. There was a purpose for what they were doing. It wasn't just a lesson on how to use a camera. They were using it for a purpose to then share their learning further. And again, it was like the children were teaching each other, like again with the learning conversations, they were teaching each other how to use the camera, how to use the record, like to videos or pictures, and they had to then decide on which aspects were the important aspects to document rather than just filming everything. And time is nearly out. Basically this year I'm just going to try and develop it further by, we've set up a class Twitter page, so I'm just hoping, like, on a daily format, like the pupils have ownership for what they're wanting to share. each day to the parents to try and involve the parents further. Thank you all.
Right, all set for the next one. Andrew?
Just the
can you find the full door?
It's a website actually.
I'll wait until you go on.
That should be me. In fact, I'll log in.
Hello there everybody, I'm from the same school as Emily Bean Cross Primary over at Grangemouth, and I'm here to talk to you about Sumdog. It's a website you've maybe came across, but there's some, if the technology isn't going to let me down, there's some new things that are happening on the website that we're just wanting to kind of mention to everybody. We do use it predominantly in the primary school, although I have seen it used elsewhere. It is basically a website which is used for quick mental recall. Of maths skills in particular, although they are introducing things like reading and writing skills as well. The kids absolutely love it, it is really good, but there is a lot of really, really useful teacher tools hidden underneath the sort of basics of the website, and the new things they've got coming up are actually really quite interesting as well. So the most important thing is it's a free site. And you can get premium access and things like that, so I'm by no means here to sell you anything. It's very much a free thing, which I would encourage you all to get involved in, having seen the impact it has on the kids, whatever age they are. If you just bear with me a wee second, I'll just quickly log in. Okay, so main thing is it is used for our quick mental maths, quick mental recall, times tables, all the usual stuff, but it does introduce outer maths elements as well. It's got time questions in there, weight measurement, it does encompass whole areas of maths. And again, if it lets me get in, I'll be able to show you that you can actually change the way it's set up very easily and quickly within each class as well. And the levels you can set at are very easy to customise. So from a teacher point of view, you can have one group on one thing, one group on another, all under the same bracket. And what I'll do is I'll show you the kids' point of view first of all. If I had time, I was going to get somebody up to play a game if there was anyone brave enough, but I don't think we will. And then I'll quickly try and show you the teacher side of things as well. There is very much a customisable character element to it, so you get a wee avatar, which you can obviously buy clothes for and hairstyles and all that kind of good stuff, which obviously the kids love. You earn coins when you play games, and the more coins you earn, the more things you can buy. There's a boy in my class who is absolutely obsessed with Bradley Wiggins, and he's very happy because they have got three kinds of road bike you can buy. So that's the kind of thing. Now the new thing that they're doing though is they are introducing houses for your character. So you've got your wee character that you've bought all the clothes for, you can now have a house and you can now buy things for your house. So the next step that they're taking it down the road of is a social interaction side of it, where you can visit all your friends' houses and you can share all the things that they do. One eye on the clock, so I'm just going to quickly mention some of the teacher stuff. This was based on a lesson that I did today. Obviously it's really easy for me to see what kids are doing fine, what kids aren't doing. That showed me the accuracy of their scores and whatever the lesson was I set up that day. That's first page, I can see who's needing help and who isn't needing help. I can quickly go into skills and then default skills. And again, it should come up. There will be 10 different classes. You just choose what class is yours. And then you choose the level, and it does go up to the third level of the curriculum. So obviously with a high school in mind, there may well be ones in there that you can apply that to. And it can then, just in case it doesn't come up, go into every element of the maths curriculum. So it's number, as I say, measure, time, outer maths, everything like that. And you can pick how hard you want to make it. So for example, my class, I've got some that are quite capable, and I can set them to maybe second level maths in some elements, but they've maybe not had as much experience with fractions. So I can give them first level questions on fractions, second level questions on times tables. So it is really, really, really customisable, if that's the word. Any suggestions, Malcolm? Mm-hmm. Let me try it one more time. The other part I was going to show you was the new settings with the house system. you can make friends, but you can only make friends within Sumdog. So there is a secure aspect. Obviously, you get a username and stuff. You can link up as friends in that. Then when you've got the house system running up, you can go and visit their houses and leave wee presents and everything like that. You can gift coins. So again, it's just that focus on answering as many questions as you can, get as many coins as possible, and then you can obviously set up prizes for your friends, but also as a teacher, you can set up prizes as your student. So I can say, first one to 100 questions right gets 500 coins or something along those lines. There are Falkirk-wide tournaments that happen, so winter school contests with, you know, certificates and different prizes like that. There are national contests as well throughout the whole of the UK. They are, I think some schools do take them pretty seriously. You know, I do envisage these schools that literally have kids sitting playing Sumdog, you know, from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon and beyond. And obviously that does have an impact on your overall score. So far we've not had any national winners. But the Falkirk contests are good fun. So feel free to have a look at sumdog.com. That's me, thank you.
Andrew, and next up, Brendan. Brendan?
He's not here, so.
Not here, right, okay.
Can I guess?
Not me. So I'll leave him. Do you think he's coming?
I don't know.
I'll leave him there. Sorry. Ah, Jackie gets a turn now.
Yay!
Hi, I'm Jackie. I work in St Mungo's High School. And the topic that I'm going to talk about this evening is flipped learning, which I did a collaborative professional inquiry into. There's a misassumption of that technology may replace the teacher, but actually what I found is that technology enhances what the teacher does. It doesn't replace good teaching, but it enhances it. What flipped learning is about, the concept, is that you give learners the opportunities to acquire lower order thinking skills at home by setting them some kind of homework task. And the reason why I'm talking about it this evening is the obvious way to set a homework task that they can do at home is to use technology. The concept is, and this is where the flipped classroom name comes from, is that if they acquire the lower order thinking skills such as knowledge at home, then it means that when they're in the classroom, they can be engaged in higher order thinking. So the teacher can organise the lesson in a way that they're engaged in activities that involve a deeper level of understanding, and they're in an environment where they can be supported by both their peers and by their teacher. So traditionally we would give pupils something very difficult to do at home, they would get stuck and they wouldn't have anybody to support them. Now what I'm going to show you just now is that one of the technology tools that I used to give the homework task was a screen capturing software called Screen-O-Matic. So what I did is I have made a screencast of how to make a screencast, if you see what I mean. But what I can do is, in the break, if anybody wants to see videos that I've made for my pupils, then I'm logged onto the computer there. Thank you.
Now, Screencast-O-Matic is available online. You don't have to download any software. You just log into it, create an account, and basically it's as simple as what you saw on the screen there. You just say what you want to record, adjust the size of the screen, and go for it. It involves a little bit of practice because there's, you know, a number of times you realise halfway through that you've got something wrong, and you very easily can just discard the one you're working on and just start again. One of the challenges is obviously the audio. I have videos that I've spoken across, but there was no way that I was going to show you one of them. But then you have the challenge of what music you're going to use. So obviously you have to look for copyright and royalty-free music, hence the cheesy tunes. Now, the important thing is obviously, how are you going to make it accessible for the pupils? Because there's no point making videos if they can't easily access them. I have used in the past a school YouTube channel. I did that when I was at my last school to a certain extent. But actually, I've always been a massive fan of Glow, even old Glow. And new Glow has just got a number of options for sharing these videos. They can go into the documents folder, because the documents folder doesn't appear to have any restriction on size of files. I have got them uploaded also into a particular app that holds videos that sit on the front of the screen. And also, I've just got recently into OneNote class notebook, which you'll be hearing about later, and they just go into that just absolutely perfectly and play perfectly. So, you know, there's a number of options. Didn't you? That's my time. That's it.
Mrs. Jackie.
Thank you.
And next up, and then it's one more after this one, did you say, before our wee break for a task? Lee? We'll wait until you're ready.
Yeah,
I'm not that mean, really. Okay.
Okay, don't laugh at the cheesy avatar. Actually, I need to change my practice because I use that name picker with my students and I realise now how on edge they must be waiting for the name to pop up. So it's now cancelled. My name's Lee and I work at the University of Glasgow. So my primary role is around initial teacher education. So I'm a design and technology teacher and that's where I sit most of the time. But I also teach primary teacher students as well. I have quite an interesting role in that it's based mostly around technology and online technologies, and that's where my research interests sit. What I didn't want to do this afternoon is lecture to you, so I'm not going to do any of that. Can I just ask how many of you are actually on Twitter? Right, quite a few of you. That'd be easy to see who's not on Twitter.
I think you're
on Twitter. Right, okay. I was going to say, usually the ones not on Twitter usually put their hand up with some pride that they're not converted yet. Right, what I would like to do is just talk to you a little bit about how we use Twitter with our students at the University of Glasgow. It is important, I feel, that the students are exposed to these kind of technologies and these online technologies, and there are two reasons for that. First of all, they need to be able to engage with the technology from the point of view of a classroom teacher. So if they want to introduce Twitter as one example of social media into the classroom, how can they go about that? What sort of constructs are involved in the learning? The second aspect is around the professional use of any kind of electronic communication, including Twitter. And we know all too well when things go wrong. I was going to do a fancy PowerPoint and I had pictures of the New York Police Department. I love NYPD. Did anybody see this in the news? It was last year. Right, NYPD had this Twitter campaign, and on Twitter they had this picture of a policeman helping an elderly lady across the road, and they decided to have this campaign. People from public could send in images, I love NYPD, and it went drastically wrong after 24 hours because all of these images started coming in of police brutality and that kind of thing. So when we use these technologies, it can spiral out of control, even though we have best intentions behind it. Now, on my blog, this is leadon.co.uk, I've included a lot of information about how we use Twitter. With one of our primary courses, we have a new master's level program for primary students, and when they come to us in year one, they are given a choice of two different electives. They can do an elective in theology, or they can do an elective called What's the Point of Education? Now, I never came up with that title. That's the title that I inherited. And What's the Point of Education kind of forces them to use Twitter, in that the learning outcomes associated with the course are directly tied into the use of Twitter, A, so that they can be exposed to those technologies, B, so that they can collaborate and communicate with other students on the course, and also so that they can get a grasp of professional guidelines around using social media. So what does it mean to be a teacher, and how can we use those social mediums effectively and professionally? And you have to go into it with real purpose. We've just heard that by throwing technology at stuff, that doesn't necessarily work. It's really the agency between the teacher and the student, or the teacher and the pupil, that's important. So there has to be ground rules set out right from the outset. There has to be clear expectations about how you use those online technologies. Interestingly, the last and probably for me the best aspect of using Twitter with the students is that they are exposed to the wonderful world of Twitter in terms of educational professionals across not just Scotland but the UK and internationally. So our students, sooner rather than later, find themselves stumbling across Pedagoo. Have you heard of Pedagoo? So Pedagoo, stumbling across different organisational Twitter feeds, including research councils, educational councils, different organisations, and individuals as well. I know for a fact that there's one or two individuals in this room have been into the university, and they've delivered sessions, CPD sessions, to our students on the use of Twitter. So our students are exposing themselves to that wider educational forum, and when we're in that interesting time of educational change, and I'm sure some of you have been in the game a lot longer than I have, education continues to change all of the time. So by exposing them to that world internationally, they're then able to capture information and pull that into their own practice. Now I've out of time, so that's me.
Just.
Yeah. I usually lecture for an hour. That was really hard to do in 5 minutes. It's actually easier to make it longer than to put it down.
Thank you, Lee. And next up, it's Lindsay.
Yay!
Yeah, you're only just
possible.
This afternoon that we're...
We're breaking for some networking time.
Right, you may need your mobile device for this activity, because sometimes my senior class tell me I really, really, really like the sound of my own voice. So I'm going to try and keep it to a minimum of what I'm going to talk about, and this is really bad because anybody that knows me realises that I talk naturally too fast, and to be on a time limit is quite hard. I'm Lindsay McNamee. I normally work at St Mungo's High School too, and co-hosting Teach Me. What I'm going to talk about today is Socrative, which I use in my classroom for a couple of different activities. It's kind of formative assessment goes digital. And I thought it'd be better to let you have an experience of it yourself than me to bang on about it and tell you. So, what is Socrative? It's an online tool or device that can monitor pupil responses. It's a formative assessment tool. Assessment is for learning. It's free. Pupils can use a variety of different devices, whether it be their own device, school device, or web-based, and we've had some success in using this for homeworks by giving the pupils a link to our Socrative quiz, which is then forms the homework. And you can set it up to have individual teacher logins, but within that you can then share with your colleagues. So for example, we do a safety graphics test in S1, but we don't all do a different safety graphics homework, we all use the same one. So somebody created it and we shared it. So, but it's important to make a note now of this number, 997660. And I'll let you see, I'm already logged in here. So I've logged in here. When you log in as a teacher, you can set up an account as a teacher. You've got various different options. You've got starter quiz, quick question, space race, exit ticket. Now, I realise some of you may not have a device with you. My classroom...
Run out of battery.
But I set it up so that you can share. So there's a facility because you can have a quiz or you can have a space race. And the space race allows you to work with your group to beat everybody else. So if you go to... If you use on your phones, students... If you Google students Socrative just now, you'll get the student login, which looks like that. So yeah, if you do Socrative student, you'll get the student login, and if there's somebody near you that you can share in the spirit of sharing and teach me. And when I'm in here, I can see how many of you are already in. So if I do the space race, and you can feel free to compare, and I'll put in the maximum number of teams we can have and start activity. I must say, I like to twist. Maybe I should wear the glasses. Yeah, it's back on the screen now. So it's 997660. Work with somebody. It's not terribly onerous questions. It won't tax you too much, I hope. And as you submit your responses, you elbow along, so you can put it up on the screen. The children quite like this because they're quite competitive, but clearly you're all not.
Have you got one?
They need Wi-Fi.
Well, they could use it with Wi-Fi, but they don't need to. You can use it on a desktop computer, and they can log on a desktop computer and a netbook. It doesn't need to be on their device.
If you're using a mobile phone, you have to use Wi-Fi.
But, yeah.
I'm in.
You're in.
Do you set up the quizzes yourself?
Yeah, you can set the quizzes up yourself. So we take it in turns of setting one up if it's something that we all teach, but if it's some particular, so I've used it with seniors for a very particular exam technique. And there's a cool wee feature I can show you when we do it. Just going to
do a question. Is there an age permitted to have?
Question.
Not competitive.
What?
Question four.
Says
what is the image of?
Oh, did it not pop up? Obviously it didn't load up. It's maybe the TeachMeet logo. Clearly there were some bugs in my uploading software this afternoon when I prepared very, very thoroughly earlier. There's a logo for TeachMeet Digital. Who's won? Is who's been? Three people have done it. But it lets you see that there's lots of different quiz types of questions you can have. So you can have true and false questions, you can have multiple choice questions, or you can have short response questions. How am I doing? Can I just finish this here because I need to show you something else before I... you get feedback on it as well, so you can send it to your email how your class did, and you can get it as spreadsheet, individual student spreadsheets, and download it, or you can view the chart online like that just now. Did you want to see that? I normally don't show the class that, but it makes it quite entertaining. You all did very well. One of the interesting, and I know I'm going over time, but it's an interesting point, I promise. When you do short response questions and you get the whole class's answer, what you can then do is you can give it back to the, you can do the second activity and give it back to the children so that they can vote on what they think the best answer is. It's particularly useful sometimes in the secondary sector if you're preparing for exams and you're looking at answering techniques and making sure that they're hitting the keywords. So for example, we have particular things like justify, explain, and example, and making sure they get the terminology and the difference required in that answer. There is loads of stuff on Socrative. They've got the help sheet on Dropbox. If you want any more information, speak to me at the break. Am I the last speaker before teas and coffee?
Yes.
Right, so That was quite handy, right? There's teas and coffees, and my mum will be devastated if you don't eat all the cake. The toilets are at opposite ends of the corridor, and feel free to network. When will we start back to Christmas?
17:43.
Sorry, 5 past. 5 past. Okay. Ready to start back for the lottery of the next 6 lucky people who get to speak. So who's it going to be this time? It's Ian.
Hello, Ben. It's Ian Stewart. I'm a techie teacher, so I feel quite comfortable in here. It's a bit tidy for me, though.
It's alright, you'd be happy in my room.
And let's not move everybody down there. I'm seconded from Isla. They let me off to work on the glow. Now, well, usually when you say glow, you get the glow groan. You all heard the glow groan, evil wish. Who's admit to do the glow groan? Now, one of the reasons why is because I was a non-user, totally non-user. I was in a school 2 hours off the mainland. Every pupil had a tablet PC, every teacher had a tablet PC, and we had no use for it. It didn't work for us. It just, have you got the mute button handy, George?
No, I don't.
No, there's a swear word coming. It was crap. Okay, with a capital C. I then was seconded inside the tent because I was very vocal on Twitter and various other places that this didn't work. So I was invited to come in and say, okay, make it work. So this is I forgot that. that's the gab bug. And I now think myself, John Johnson, we're starting to get there. Okay, what we've done is we've completely uncoupled the authentication. Your Glow login is not going to be your Glow login that takes you into one service. Actually, it takes you into lots and lots of services. And one of them is Microsoft Office 365. I know somebody else much more eloquent than me is going to be talking about that later on, so I won't be going into great depth. But one of the key products in Office 365 is something called OneNote. In here, and a wee play. Did it make sense?
Yeah.
It usually makes sense to lots of teachers because it's a jotter. It's a jotter. It's by any other description, it is a jotter. I mean, I'm going to open up the full version of OneNote as well. Okay, so here we've got some notebooks that have been created, and OneNote is your digital jotter. I'm going to open up one from Denny High School, not that far away, because I went into Denny to see some ugly people. Sorry, Kip. And they said, right, show me how to do this. How does this happen? So the next day on that journey, I used my phone to go into the same notebook and actually record pictures and audio, and I put some stuff on here, and it just appears automatically. I don't send it. It appears. And today, I've been doing this one. Whoops, that's the wrong one, Falkirk. I've been doing this one, and I took some pictures of beautiful people. And I didn't draw the moustache and the horns on you this time, Olivia. And despite the look of fear in your face there, and I recorded sound. Now, it reminded me very much of what Susan was talking about, that verbal feedback. And actually, you can do this. The one huge advantage is when I say, let's open this up fully, let's see if we can do it again. No, we can't. Doesn't let me. Doesn't like my account. But what this does is this has become your notebook. So you can see this. Oh, I'm impressed. Who signed, didn't you?
That was
see, got a classy set up. May I?
Yes, perfect.
Okay. So higher computing. Let's try to sync me, I think, because I'm signed in, so it's confusing it a wee bit. But in here, if I want to come in and say I want to create a new notebook, now very soon, if you put your Glow login in here, and some authorities have 12 so far, you have access to five full copies of Office 2013 for 5 different machines. Okay, that's not including mobile devices. The storage in the cloud is unlimited. and your name will be here, and your OneDrive for Glow will appear automatically there. So you can go straight in. So I'm just going to create one on the computer. It's just going to be called Test. Then I've created a notebook. Okay. The notebook is here, and I can say, let's add in some more sections. And within each section, I can have as many sections as I want. I can drop in anything I want into here, any file format. We'll just go in. Let's do WMV file. Let's drop it in. And it puts that video in. So video becomes available on any device. You don't need to put it in YouTube. And if you use it on a mobile device, you actually have it on that mobile device. Lots and lots of disadvantaged kids have devices, but they don't all have the data to pay for things. So actually, when they download it once, they can watch. Now, I was on two islands, Isla and Jura. We'd kids who would travel for 45 minutes, 50 minutes on a ferry, and then another 40 minutes to get to school every day. Their flipped learning model was usually, when they were travelling, headphones in on their mobile device, getting prepared for those lessons on that day. Okay? They loved Shrek. We divided Shrek up into several areas. It's actually, the video is set to play on here, that's why. Okay, now the other interesting thing about this, as the video is playing, if I make a mark at that point, it actually comes up with a little... Oh, where is it? And then it's there behind that mark. See that little play button? Tiny wee play button. That's going to that point in the video. So I'm looking at tech teachers showing practical videos. They can actually say, at this point, this is what happens. P analysis. Science experiments. When transmissions happen. When transformations happen. Getting kids to analyse that. I also used... How much time I've got? Oh, out of time. Well out of time. You can also use... video directly in here. Record video directly into the notebook. That's actually recording the video straight away. If there was a camera here, see, there's a camera somewhere. Because it came up. Yeah, it's recording the video. So I used screen capture software, and I used a couple of free ones that were actually installed, slightly different. Again, create software, put it back in, flip learning back through. Can I quickly mention Classroom Creator?
Please do.
Please do. Okay. Now, there is lots of things in here that you can actually do really quickly. I'm going to go back into here. Within sites, if I go back to Isla, in fact, I should have just done it from my Glow login. There it's there. And my site contents. There are things called OneNote Staff Notebook and Class Notebook. That won't appear for you guys because a really good tech Gary, the Glow Bear, put that in. They kind of get it out now. So. But what I can do is actually go and say, this is a wizard. Who remembers wizards from the 90s? Public wizard and all the rest of it. Help me set things up. This becomes a wizard. What it creates is a notebook where the teacher has an open space, a section where the... So you can see I've got some created here. I've got the Scottish Government one, not Stargate, as some people thought it was. I've got students in here. These students, next, can't see each other. Oh, let's go back. The teacher, and as a teacher, I can see an overview. If at any point you want me to show you that on my machine, I can, okay? How I can interact right on here using the teacher's traditional red pen, highlighting, have you thought this, or spoken format, or video capture. I think I'm way over my time. Thank you very much. And by the way, if you've got a school site, that stuff's in there now, ready to go.
John is next.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Malcolm. Hi, everyone. My name is John Flaherty. I'm a P67 teacher at St Bernadette's Primary. And I'm also the ICT coordinator. And Malcolm's asked me to come along today to talk to you about how I've involved pupils in the upper school classes from primary 5 up to 7, and developing ICT in the primary school and becoming leaders, hence the digital leaders. Now, the last presenter, I can't remember your name, showed a bit of my video, so that's helped me with the time, which is great. So, as a staff, we need some really simple things, and I'm sure any primary teacher or secondary, I'm sure, will relate to this. Help teachers with ICT problems during the day. I'm in class as ICT coordinator, I can't go out and help them. Taking care of the laptops, we've got laptop trolleys, putting them back, it was an absolute nightmare before. There's really simple problems, setting up for assemblies, putting on microphones, setting up projectors, and advising staff in new technologies. I've found, being a primary, and I consider myself to be fairly young, but in being a primary 7 teacher, the children are far way ahead than I am with new apps, new technologies that can be used in education, and I've really passed it on to them. They're helping me develop my own practice as well. So the answer that we came up with was after an ICT coordinators meeting, which Malcolm led, and it was the idea of pupils as digital leaders, and this came from a networking idea, which I believe started down south, Malcolm, is that right? And I used, in terms of resources, the National Grid for Learning Digital Leader Pack had loads of it, so if you're interested in this, have a wee look at it. And also what was key to this was my head teacher giving me time out of class to actually work with the children. So how did I start it off? Well, I asked the pupils to come up with a creative form of an application form. I told them what I wanted to know. What specific skills do you have? Why do you want to be an digital leader? And they all come up with different ideas. Somebody did a video star video, an iMovie, PowerPoint. And then from that, they went through a proper interview process, which is a great experience for them as well. And there's my team of digital leaders there. We've got 7. And we've got 7 classes in the school, so each digital leader is allocated their very own class. So they go into class and help the teachers with any technical difficulties during the day. But we also have our own meetings and talk about how we can take ICT forward in the school. So this is a poster that goes in every classroom. So there's Sophie, she's got her own wee extension number in case the teacher needs to call her. So responsibilities, what kind of things did they do? Well, they assist teachers, as I've said, in class with day-to-day problems, setting up for school assemblies. This is something we're working on, is planning, delivering training sessions for staff. We're planning to get them in to come and do cat nights for the teachers and train us up as a full staff. Research to new technologies and software and report back. For example, iMovies they've come to me with, and we've used that in various lessons. So that's just one wee example. Responsibility for taking care of laptops, numbering and making sure they're charged up for the next day. And this is what we're focused on this week, is planning delivering lessons to other classes. And as well, before I go into that, we set up a GLOW, that GLOW Grown, as you called it. The staff in St Bernadette's are the exact same. And Malcolm came in and did a great session with the digital leaders and trained them up how to do it. And that was about 2 weeks ago, Malcolm. And now every class in P4 up to 7 and every member of staff is on GLOW and using it, and it's not down to me, and it's partly down to Malcolm, it's down to the children actually going in and driving it forward. Digital Learning Week. I went to the pupils with this and asked them, what do you think we can do? And they really wanted to go in and share their ICT knowledge and their ICT experience with the other children in the school. So every class this week had a slot with a digital leader. The upper schools had 3 where they rotated, and the digital leaders did proper lesson plans with learning intentions and success criteria. And they said to me, it's so hard to write a learning intention. I know. Tell me about it. And all the activities and even their evaluation, they asked the teachers how they could improve. They watched each other's lessons before they went and gave some peer assessment and some feedback. And there's just a few examples of them getting into classes. I did things like colour magic down in the school, scratch with primary 6 classes, and also Malcolm was part of Digital Learning Week, came in and worked on Adobe Connect, and they're currently planning a St Bernadette's TV, which is going to happen hopefully on a weekly basis. So in terms of the impact, I've got some video of children talking about digital learning. It goes for 2 minutes. Can I go?
I go for it.
And I'm trying to pull out the key words. What are the key impacts? And these are the words I came across as I was listening to the video of both children who have received lessons from the digital leaders, and at the end, the digital leaders themselves. So hopefully you can hear it.
The digital leaders have described color magic, and they keep them. How to go under the shapes and how to colour my picture, and I really enjoyed it. And I like being taught by them because the teachers were older.
Teachers are much older.
Picture of alphabet, and there was a letter that was coloured in, and then you had to press it on the school computers. We played a game called Find the Teddy, and I liked it.
The digital leaders helped me make a Paltoon account and told me how to use it.
Well, we learned to use colour magic on the computers and the digital leaders.
Digital literacy. I've been teaching people 20 years. Scratch, Cake Painter Stamp and colour magic. I find it really fun. It's like making them use this to their own abilities and it makes me look happy.
Hi, my name is Amelia and I'm a digital leader at Superindex. Basically, being a digital leader means that you have to take responsibilities and be in charge of taking the laptops down to the younger children. Also, I really enjoy the responsibility of being able to teach them lots of the computer applications such as Colour Magic, Microsoft Word, Microsoft PowerPoint and Scratch. My name is Molly and I'm a digital leader for Primary 50 at Superindex Primary School. This week is Digital Learning Week and we've been going through all the classes, teaching them how to use PowerPoint, Glow, and just things like that. So I really enjoy being a digital leader because, well, what we're doing this week, and I really just enjoy like doing stuff with computers and iPads and laptops and stuff. So.
Okay, so I certainly got all those messages from listening to the children speak. And that's just been from a week, so I'm really hoping that this will continue to grow arms and legs. And it's really, well, you've worked with them, Malcolm. And I've got a parent as well who can vouch.
It's been 2 hours doing this last week.
Don't say that.
Digital leaders have been in it for fantastic.
Yeah. Thanks. And I don't think I've got time for questions.
No, you haven't.
So, thank you very much.
Brendan?
No.
No. Then. Palm's not here yet?
No. It's getting to.
Well, who does that leave?
Fine.
John!
Hey. I'm guessing I'm not going to go for the market, so I'll just improvise this.
Where's my bruiser in this?
Postcard.
What? Much longer than you think. Well.
Hi folks, as Malcolm said, my name's John, primary school teacher originally from Glasgow. Substantive post is ICT Development Officer in North Lanarkshire Council, and I'm currently seconded to Glow as the rather odd name of a product owner, and I seem to own blogs, which basically means that I shout a lot in the Scottish Government at people and say I want this and I want that, and they go, no, you can't have that, John. But that's my job. This year for me is my 10th anniversary of blogging. Like, it's Malcolm, I think you need to start the time now.
You want to do one?
Yeah, it's probably best. But I've been blogging and talking about blogging for 10 years now. which probably is longer than 5 minutes. And 10 years ago, I used to start with how many people have heard of a blog, and you would get two hands in a room this size up. And I don't need to ask that question anymore because everybody knows. I'm still harping on with the same thing, and it kind of ties in a wee bit. And I was talking to Malcolm about this earlier, and I'm going kind of off what I plan to talk about, but the digital leaders, where you turn the responsibility for stuff over to children. And I think that's a clue. I was talking to Malcolm about why Twitter was been taken up by schools, and it's because it's easier than blogging, it's much quicker than blogging. But the whole point of blogging is that, I mean, I know 140 characters, you can say quite a lot, but you can't really develop your ideas and to be a lot reflective and all that other good stuff that, that kids are meant to be on Twitter. It's kind of hard. Your blog gives you more chance to do that. But the reason Malcolm said Twitter's taken up is because people don't have time to blog. Now, my whole reason for starting blogs back in 2005 was I had responsibility for the school website, and I'm reasonably allergic to working hard. So I thought the easiest way to do this is get the children to do it. And lo and behold, I found not only did that cut down the amount of work I had to do, which was my main objective, it actually affected them, is that they got tons of all that good stuff that we talked about there. They were becoming, before Curriculum for Excellence, responsible and confident and all this other good stuff. They were getting connections and thinking about their learning, were making connections with people in Bangkok and in Australia, and learning off them and with them. And I wasn't really doing very much other than mostly looking over and saying, well, there's a wee spell mistake there, pal, fix that before you click post. So that cut my workload down. And I think if you think this probably goes for a lot of ICT, is another thing I've got to do, then you're doing it wrong. It's something the kids have got to do, and it should fit in and replace other things or augment other things. So if they're doing some writing or they're doing some reflection, if they post that to a blog, they add on, they add value, because they're doing it. And this authentic, somebody mentioned authentic learning earlier, I can't remember who it was, but by producing something for the public, the audience, these millions of readers that you have theoretically got on a blog. And the last thing you should do on a blog is, by the way, is ever look at your stats, because that's just too depressing. I've written 250,000 words over the last 10 years, and I think there's been 6 readers. So don't let the children know that. Just let them see those wee cluster maps that show how many people are there. I'm going to very quickly go through. This is a random selection of 5 Glo blogs that I've seen in 2 minutes earlier preparing for this. Fraser has been busy with Play-Doh. That's it. That's a nursery class. Somebody's popped that up. Got videos of kids, and I'll not even start playing them, saying what they liked about having a blog in early years. So good for that sort of stuff. Communication with parents and all the other technical things I'm sure somebody can explain. This was some kids who are working at starting a blog, and this is Abby and Luke writing about why they think it's good to write a blog. So they're saying it helps them with their punctuation, it helps them reflect, and tons of good stuff, and those kids understand that, and by doing that they've got some attention. They've got people from their school saying, their deputy principal from Australia saying this is interesting, people locally saying this is interesting, another Australian, and there, you know, there's tons of stuff just coming in from one wee post of these kids. But those kids have been given that responsibility. They've done that bit of writing there. Another blog. This is as a world famous blog, and I couldn't really go past it. And just, this is the thing that you show the kids. Look at this, guys. Look at the number of people visiting our site. We've got people all over the world. This, somebody's got an audience like that. So if your kids are not blogging, if you're blogging for your own professional development or for sharing stuff, you're going to make a bigger impact than just talking to a bunch of people in your staff room, a bigger impact than Malcolm has in the whole of Falkirk, which I'm sure is huge, and we've heard a lot of people tonight. There he's got, I don't think there's a speck of land other than Siberia. You've got a rotten audience in Siberia, but that, maybe because of Russians' fake IP addresses, but there's a lot of Chinese people paying attention, Malcolm, you know? And This is a head teacher that I know who explains to his parents where he is, which classrooms he's visiting, when he's off for training, and which of his teachers are off for training and things like that. He does that just about every day. It doesn't seem to take him that long, but imagine it's the amount of communication that is with the parents. And it's not, they don't have to have that crumpled sheet in the bag, they don't have anything else, they can just see it, and it's right there. And it's that degree of sharing, I think, is really interesting to do. I mean, I don't know if I would do that about my practice, you know, to share that amount publicly, but I think he's having a great impact in the parents in that area. So that's something else you can do with a blog. Again, another one I found at random, and this is a wee girl who's doing an Endeavour project. She's doing an Endeavour project, they seem to do that in her school, and she's posting stuff. She's in primary either 5 or 7, and she's posting stuff about where she lives, and she's got the opportunity to share that right across the world. And again, I think that gives you the opportunity to do that. How much is that? 5 minutes well up. Okay, a couple other things is that part of the reason that I'm interested in, I took the opportunity to do this, is because we had a pretty slonky old version of WordPress for years and years when it was 2.9.2. We have now got the very nearliest up to date version of WordPress, which should keep on getting updated. It now, and I haven't got time, but it now handles mobile devices really well. It's pretty easy to post stuff straight from your phone. We've got 2 seconds. I'll see how fast your super fast broadband is. It's pretty easy to post stuff straight up there on a mobile phone. I can click make a new post, type a title. What's this called? FD, teach me FD. And I can't spell teach me, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, I can't spell it either, Jackie.
I'll just add some media to that. Other interesting thing, I think, is that we have now got 50 megabyte uploads with for file sizes. So that means the flipped learning sort of thing people are doing, sharing what video that your children are posting with an international audience is pretty easy. I can get 50 minutes of video down, well, not 50 minutes, I actually get 25 minutes of video down to 50 megabytes with a wee bit of squashing if you don't, you're not desperate keen in quality. But certainly for flipped learning where you're using 5-minute videos, it's pretty easy to do that. So, as far as I know, hopefully. That's a horrible blog that I just use for posting stuff as tests. And there we go. That just went on there now from a mobile phone. It didn't. It's pretty easy. It's a pretty good mobile stuff. You can post video from your phone, especially with a nice fast broadband connection you've got in here. Thank you very much.
I'll click this big one colour that's left. I wonder whose name will pop up. Oh, phew.
I think that's a surprise. Thanks, Malcolm.
Could you put the timer on for me?
Yeah.
It's opening a new tab. Well, other people have already mentioned it, but one of the free things that every school in the world can now get is Office 365. And I'm saying other people have mentioned it, but we can get it via Glow, which I'll mention at the end here. But basically, Office 365 has sold the new version of Glow. This is new since October last year, and it just keeps getting better. This is what John's digital leaders and class have been using. 4 primary schools in Falkirk took part this week and are taking part this week in the national story writing, digital story writing. So very exciting in what's going on, because they see it live and happening. But all of this is now part of the new version of Globe. So Outlook, say this quietly, and maybe this is the point to switch off the microphone, but in our work email in here, we have a limit of 100 meg and attachments up to 8 meg in our work email, and we can't access at home. In Glow, Office 365, exactly the same tool, but you have 50 gigabytes of storage space and email attachments of 25 meg. So, fairly large. Last summer, OneDrive was 50 gigabytes of storage space for every single user, that's pupils and teachers. It then went up to 1 terabyte in October, and then to try and keep up with any competition, it went unlimited. So you can't really get better than unlimited. You'll never fill it. Isn't that quite amazing? So anything you like, you can store inside there. Obviously not confidential data, but anything else. Newsfeed, Office Online, which means that all of these tools now can be done live. You can have collaborative things going on. You can have multiple uploads, one of the features of the old Glow that we all loved. But now you can have multiple uploads and you can do it live. You don't need to make a download, make a change, then re-upload it. Now it's all live, and you can have multiple collaborators at the same time. Ian mentioned OneNote. OneNote, I call it a personal ring binder or a class ring binder. You called it a jotter. That was just so much more Scottish, wasn't it? But anyway, so all these other things, bits and pieces. Oh, sorry, there was another wee thing I should have mentioned at the bottom of that. Like for video conferencing and SharePoint, these are just the things in Office 365. SharePoint are the sites kind of element, and it all works on a mobile phone, all designed with different apps. I've chosen just to highlight one or two little features. This particular thing here is Word, because this week was that great big national digital story writing thing that I was telling you about. People are familiar with Word, so that makes it already something that is very comfortable for people to use. You can keep it private in your OneDrive. I've got the icons up here, by the way, because in each of these places you can create that document or store the document, whether it's straight from the app, the Office 365, or in your personal OneDrive. But even if it's in your personal OneDrive, you can still choose to share out to an individual or to an entire country if you so desire to do so.
Excuse me a minute, I'm a complete backwards with you. You're telling me that I could get that either on site here or at home or whatever?
Yes.
And it's got on Globe?
On Globe. Well, the difference is now it's just your username. That's all you need. You're not actually going into Glow, so it can be straight from your phone straight to that. So you don't actually need to go into Glow first to get access to these things. You simply log in and you get access to whatever you like. So Word is just one of the tools, one of these parts. You can choose to share if you choose to share with anyone else, so they can just see it, or you can choose to collaborate and allow them to edit and jointly do things, which then allows for this multi-user, multi-collaborative, all at the same time kind of writing, which I'll come back to in the next slide. As you're typing, wee flags pop up saying who's actually typing. So we're all doing this live. If I was as brave as Lindsay was and actually doing something live, which I'm not going to be in my short time, then we'd see it happening. But both kids squeal with delight, and I've had staff do exactly the same. Even though I've just told them that's going to happen, they still go, oh, look at that, look at the flag. So it still happens. They are excited because it just is so different to what we're used to. Comments can be added. So Ian mentioned about OneNote, the fact they can scribble wee notes on something in Word. Some people have used it in the past, but many people didn't use it in the basic Word, in the desktop version of Word. But now a pupil can have shared a piece of work with you. You as a teacher don't want to change their work, but you want to comment on it, and at any point you just add wee comments, and it's instant live from your mobile device or from your computer, whichever works for you. It all saves in the background. At no point do you have to hit a save button. In fact, there is no save button.
Yeah.
So it just does it in the background. Did that put you off? It took you by surprise when there's no save button.
Yes, I just save.
There's a file save as, but that downloads a copy. So there's no need to save it. It's saved as you're going, which is always good, because lots of us, I'm sure, have had that moment of losing things, but you can't. It can be created online, so you don't even need the software on your PC or device. You can use the browser, and you'd create it live there and then, or you can upload a file. So I mentioned the fact that this thing was going on this week. This has just inspired so many folk around the country to suddenly come back into Glow, because it has been a turned off for many over the last couple of years, but the new version four of our primary schools here in Falkirk decided, oh, I would like to do that, and they did that, but many others around the country also did the same thing, and they were started off by two Scottish authors who started the first chapter on Monday morning, and then we're only part way through the week here on Thursday, so it's not finished yet, but you can Google this, go to the blog, it's a WordPress blog using Glow, but it's public, and it'll give you the link in to see the story as it's developing, so you can view that right now with each class as they're doing it. And different classes have been doing it differently. Some have had individuals all typing all at once in different parts of the story on their chapter, if it's their hour. Others have been sitting around a smart board like this, and the different children have been brainstorming different ideas, sharing it, and then the ideas that they vote upon then go into the story. But the end story is, from beginning to end, a collaborative story where children around the country have all been writing something together. Just amazing to read. And there's several different versions, different levels, first level all the way through to third level. And you can still see it at the end of the week. So I do encourage you to have a look at that at the end of the week. Link video conferencing. Just run over time. Link video conferencing, there are other video conferencing tools available as well, but this is part of Office, and it's just a calendar entry. There's no fancy setups, it's just a case of make a calendar entry, invite the other person, make it online, and there you are. Both people get an email saying, here's the link, and you open it up. One note Ian's mentioned already, so I'm going to flash past that, but I couldn't do it without being complete. And what's a class site look like? This is the SharePoint site. The old version of Glow essentially was the sites, and that was really it. Now with the new version of Glow, you can just make them look lovely. You can make it look any way you like. The navigation tools, multiple uploads, being able to create Word documents, PowerPoints, Excel, all online, and drag and drop loads of stuff, whichever you fancy. Tasks, so you can set assignments for individuals, track how quickly or otherwise they're doing it, keep on top of things, and at the very bottom, very small writing, apps for everything on your mobile phones for all devices. And I think the last wee bit is, this is just one workflow, because people often ask the question, how do I actually work this with my class? This is just one way of doing it. There's lots of different ways, but it's one way that seems to work. You assign the task in a public space, in your class space. The teacher, the pupil rather, then creates whatever the response happens to be, if it's a Word document, PowerPoint, Excel, or whatever it happens to be. The teacher can then comment on it, having been shared by the pupil, and then there's the feedback. So, how do you get it? It's Glow and apps. Thank you very much.